Knowing the headlines isn't always enough. Sometimes you need to talk about it. For stimulating conversation on the day's hot topics, this is your station. This is your show, The Ryan Jesperson Show on 630 CHED, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
It's a good day to be tuned in to CHED, everybody. Good morning. Thanks for being here. There's a company in Canada. It's doing most of its business south of the border, but Canadians, for the first time, have an opportunity to invest in recreational marijuana stock. That's right. Nutritional High International is Canada's first recreational marijuana company. David Posner joining us this morning to shed some light on what this means for you. Mr. Posner, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How's your morning?
It's amazing.
Every time,
really busy here.
Every time somebody talks to you about the business you're in, do you find that there's smirking and joking right off the top, or people saying, "How are you doing?" I mean, do people make those kind of assumptions when you're in the marijuana business?
You know what? You have a little bit of it, but lately, really, everything's kind of turned, and people are really focused on the industry, and they're focused on both the medicinal and the recreational benefits of it. So it's really changed over the past year and a half.
I would imagine that I'm not alone in sitting here and going, wait a second, this is a Canadian-based company, but marijuana, for all intents and purposes, is illegal in Canada. Can you describe your business model and your market for us?
Yeah, 100%. Our business model is we make marijuana extracts and oils, and we make marijuana edibles. We make marijuana candies. So we're the first company in the U.S. that has a semi-automated candy line. So we make these candies, and we're dosing them appropriately for the first time. So we're really excited about it. We have a VP of development. Her name's Melissa Parks. She's a Cordon Bleu chef. She's also a chocolatier. So we've come out with amazing chocolates. We have a hard candy line called Heisenberg Blue, and we also sell gummies. So they're confectionery products, and they all have a 4 to 6 month shelf life, which gives, you know, the retail dispensaries the time to stock them and sell them, get them to the patients, and the patients then don't have to eat them immediately.
Just so I'm clear, David, do you have customers here in Canada, those that would be legally permitted to purchase marijuana for medicinal reasons, or is your entire customer base in the States?
Our entire customer base is in the States. You have to have a license in each state where you operate, and you have to have your facility in that state. You're not allowed to cross state lines with the product. So presently, we're building at a factory in Colorado. We just acquired the second largest producer in the state of New Mexico. We have a license for a dispensary that we're just building out now in Illinois. And we're presently trying to focus on and get a multi-state platform. We're looking at acquisitions, but we're also looking at applying for licenses in different states and opening up there.
Do you foresee more and more states south of the border opening up to this movement? I mean, right now, what is it, 4 states permit it?
4 states for recreational, but we also focus on the medical marijuana market, and there's many states that are opening up, you know, every few states that's, you know, passing a bill and they're opening up. So presently now, New York State just announced they're putting in applications for the end of May, and there's a whole variety of states that are coming on board. Nevada has medical marijuana now. Arizona has medical marijuana.
How significant of a market opportunity is there?
Well, the part of the business that we're in is the highest profit margin part of the business. Everybody believed if they grew marijuana that they would, you know, become millionaires. The price of marijuana is a commodity. What we do is we're making marijuana candies, and how we operate is we take the scraps of the marijuana, it goes into a large CO2 extractor, which is basically a large juicer. 8 hours later, it comes out as an oil. That oil then gets resold to other edible makers, goes into our products, and also is used for vape pens. So very similar to e-cigarettes, or the same as e-cigarettes. The oil that we make goes into cartridges and is sold, you know, to the different dispensaries. There's 300 dispensaries in the state of Colorado, and these are retail operations that solely sell marijuana products.
We're talking to David Posner from Nutritional High. David, obviously, you wouldn't have completed $1.5 million IPO back in March. You wouldn't be trading on the Canadian Securities Exchange if the business you're in was not legal. Have you found that investors have had some pretty serious questions? I know that there's been many allegations of fraud involving marijuana-related investment opportunities down in the U.S.
Well, and this was one of the reasons why we wanted to list in Canada. We're a fully reporting company, so we're traded on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol NHL, and we just got our U.S. listing on the OTCQB yesterday, and we're trading under the symbol SPLIF, S-P-L-I-F. There has been, you know, different deals, and in any industry, there are going to be, you know, some questionable companies, and this is why we've provided full disclosure, and we're kind of excited what we're doing. We're trying to have the highest standards in the industry, both on the manufacturing side and on the corporate side.
Do you get to choose the symbols that you trade under?
I do.
Because kudos on SPLIF. That's excellent. There was a bit of a bubble for investors, I think, a while ago when it came to opportunities to invest in marijuana. What sort of a trend are you seeing right now with regards to the investment side?
Well, as I said before, many people thought if they grew marijuana, they were, you know, that these companies would for sure be profitable. Marijuana is a commodity. In the state of Colorado, and I'm just going through Colorado because it's the most developed market in the U.S., a pound of marijuana used to sell for $2,600 a pound. Now a pound of marijuana sells for around $1,200 a pound. So for us, this is amazing. The lower the price goes down, you know, the lower our cost to make our edibles are, and so we love it. And I really believe the price of marijuana is going to continue to go down and down. There's just a lot more people coming into the industry, and for this reason, like, we're so excited. So every time the price of marijuana goes down, our stock should go up.
David, where does your company get its marijuana from?
From different producers and in each state. So we work with different people in each state. For example, in the state of New Mexico, if you have a retail operation, you have the right to have your own grow and manufacturing facility. So in New Mexico, we actually grow our marijuana, make our extracts, and have a retail operation. In other states, for example, in Colorado and some of the other states, we're just going to be manufacturing.
Okay,
so we work with licensees in states, sometimes on a royalty deal, and in other states, we actually own the license ourselves in the facility.
So there's actually no manufacturing going on in Canada?
No, it's, for what we do to make marijuana oils is not legal in Canada, and you need to make the marijuana oils to then make the edibles. So there's a few court cases right now, and we believe over time this will change. There's a huge ease for somebody to eat a candy rather than smoking, and many sick people, especially on the medical marijuana side, you know, really, they don't want to smoke. In Colorado, 45% of all sales in the retail dispensaries are marijuana oils, edibles, or extraction. So we believe this number would be even greater, but there's a huge lack of supply in the industry. So, you know, January 1st, 2014, when Colorado went recreational, all the edibles in the whole state were sold out. So we found this is our opportunity, and this is why we're doing it. You know, we produce this automated line necessary for the market demand.
We're talking to David Posner, Chief Executive of Toronto's Nutritional High International. We've got some listeners here with some comments and questions. George says that I should be using the term cannabis when I talk to you, not the slang marijuana. Is there a difference in your mind?
Is there a difference? Most people do call it cannabis.
But is there a difference between cannabis and marijuana?
There's no difference.
Okay.
It's the politically correct form.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I'm not calling it weed. I mean, I guess we could probably draw the line there. Brian is wondering what science-based studies your business is actually based on. I know that that's a pretty general question, but how would you respond?
Well, we've actually worked, and we are presently working with some consultants that worked at Novartis. So what we're doing is learning how to infuse the product, because at the end of the day, the dosing factor is very important. People want to know every time they have a candy, they have the same feel and they have the same effect. So we've been working really on the infusion side of it, and that's more the science and the technology behind our company. So we're very focused on making the best oils and making the best infused products.
Now, David, of course, we're talking to you in the context of Canadians having an opportunity to invest in the business for the first time in Nutritional High. But at the same time, there's the question of those who are using the product, your customer base. You know, I've got one listener here saying that I shouldn't be giving, quote, marijuana mongers airtime. Do you still fight a perception problem of people who just believe that it's, you know, with apologies, lazy potheads that are purchasing these products? I mean, who's buying what you're selling?
And this is the most interesting part of it, both on an investing side and on the customer side. If you actually sat in a variety of retail operations in Colorado, you'd see there's such a diverse age group and the people that are coming in is such a wide range, and it's all across the board. And you know, you have a lot of professionals, you have a lot of elderly people, you have a lot of middle-aged people. It's not just a youth movement of young people that want to sit around and smoke pot. And these products also are, you know, they're very diverse. I mean, there's marijuana drinks, there's marijuana chocolates. There's so many different ways, you know, there's so many different products in the marketplace. So it's really, really interesting. And it's not, you know, that general perception is changing very quickly. Originally, it was kind of the left wing in the States, you know, and I guess you would say the hippie movement that kind of pushed this, you know, to the forefront. But now they're seeing that real estate's going up in these areas where there's marijuana companies, there's more jobs, there's tax revenue. So you're seeing the Republican side jump on board. And this is what the most interesting part of the whole, let's just say, political side is. So it's not one-sided anymore.
Well, and
tax revenue is really driving this.
Yeah, and as is the case, I mean, with any president and CEO of any publicly traded company, obviously, I would imagine you have a close watch on government policy and government leanings. I would suggest that the more Republicans that get on board stateside could potentially have an impact up here with a federal conservative government. Do you get the sense that there's any chance whatsoever that the conservative government here in Canada would ever give the green light to legalizing marijuana or to flexing the rules that are holding your company's growth back?
Well, I think there's always a chance, and I think Colorado, and looking at the Colorado model, when they see actually how much tax revenue there is, and they see that there's not more violent crimes, and they see that there's, you know, a lot of the issues that are on the table that they believe in their mind are really not there. You know, I think they will change their mind over time, but I think it's going to be a U.S. push, you know, to the forefront of our Canadian model.
David, I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you could help me with it. There is that an interesting scenario down in the United States where we know that nationally speaking, federally speaking, there are illegalities, while there are legalized scenarios in several states, as you've detailed earlier in this phone call. Could the same situation occur in Canada, where federally speaking, it would be illegal, but provinces could make their own decisions?
Well, right now it's federally legal for medical marijuana.
Right, but for recreational.
And you know what? I believe this is going to be pushed more to the forefront by the federal government. Right now, like, for example, in Vancouver, you see there's many dispensaries that are opening up. And now the city of Vancouver is saying, hey, we'll give them permits, and they're looking at how they can, you know, tax them and make profits off of this. But I think come the time, the profits are going to go more to the federal side than to the province. I mean, there will be a leak down effect, but, you know, I think it has to, they really have to get the thumbs up from the federal side. And I do think it's going to happen sooner than later. And this is why we're trying to establish and get the early moving advantage to really establish our brands in the U.S. So when it does happen in Canada and we get the green light, you know, we'll have an established market brand. We'll come up to Canada and, you know, come home and serve the Canadian public.
Okay, good stuff. David, I've got some more listeners here. Kevin says, I personally bought stock in NHL after I saw Mr. Posner on the Business News Network. The times, they are a-changing. He says, good luck to you and your company. Obviously, he's an investor. No wonder he's giving you good luck there. But we have another couple of listeners here. Sean says his concern is with marijuana being in the form of candy or chocolate is that people would consume it and then go drive their car or go to work. I've got another listener wondering if you may be concerned that kids could get a hold of this thinking that it's real candy. How would you respond to concerns like that?
Well, and you know what? This is one of my biggest concerns, and this is how we attack this is by packaging. So, you know, having childproof packaging is very, very important. And So we have the highest standards of packaging with our products. You know, going on to the whole driving and smoking, right now they're actually coming up with cannabis breathalyzers, and there's a Canadian company that's doing it, and there's a few other companies that are doing it, and we're very pro that.
Like, I would suggest that
any industry, whether it's drinking and driving or smoking and driving or taking, you know, pharmaceutical pills and driving, we're completely against it, and we will support, you know, all these breathalyzers across states and, you know, provinces.
I was just going to say, I mean, like, if you have a prescription for Percocet or something like that, you're not driving either. I mean, I would guess you would assume
we're supposed
that this,
to.
Yeah, that, correct. The same user responsibility, the same personal responsibility would apply.
Absolutely.
David Posner, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Very interesting business opportunity. I'm curious to see how Canadians respond to it, and we'll keep an eye on the longer-term growth of your business.
Perfect. Perfect. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. It's probably always a pretty good day over at Nutritional High International. So what do you think? What do you think about what you just heard? Would you invest in a company like this? Nutritional High International. They completed $1.5 million IPO, as mentioned, back in March. Canadians have been latching onto the opportunity. Would you? We'll open, you know what, let's open up the phone lines. Gina, 780-496-0063. We'll have about 5 minutes when we're back from this break. An interesting conversation there with David Posner. He's the president and CEO of Nutritional High International. It's a Canadian company that's providing essentially products and brands in the marijuana-infused edible market, the oil extracts market as well, for medical and adult recreational use. An interesting opportunity for Canadians. The question is, as an investor, is this something that you would consider? Sandra's called in to 496-0063. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. The question I have was, after I listened to your guest, I went on the internet and wanted to see what the cost per share was.
Right.
And the quote, apparently the message I got was, quote, service unavailable. Exercise caution when placing your order. So if one wanted to invest, it seems that for some reason Canadians couldn't do that anyway.
I see. Well, you know what? I can't tell you that I would know too much about the process there. I'm taking a look right now at its stock price, and it appears to me to be a pretty modest stock price. It looks to me like it's trading at 9 cents a share, if that helps you out at all. I've got to be honest with you, Sandra. I'm not a real savvy day trader kind of a guy.
I guess one would just have to continue trying.
Yeah, Sandra, what would you typically base your investment decisions on?
Well, probably because the demand would be so great that the stock would inevitably go up.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds to me, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be the entry point of getting in on a business opportunity like this, but relatively speaking, still pretty early when it comes to societal trends and legislation, for that matter.
Yeah, I would think so, but my guess is after that much money was spent investing in it, that the fellow must have been pretty sure he could make a profit, and that I don't think that he'd be able to license it the way he has if there wasn't a sure way of completing this and entering Canada.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the you know, to go through the IPO to be traded on the Canadian Securities Exchange, you know, the I's have been dotted and the T's have been crossed. So, you know, you're covered there. I'm certainly not, and let me say this very specifically and very clearly, I'm not endorsing or suggesting the purchase of this stock. I'm just saying that they have done their due diligence and they're adhering to the rules. Yeah, you bet. All right, Sandra, well, give us a call back and let us know if you make $1 million on this, will you?
All right, I will.
Okay, thanks for listening. Here's the news, everyone.